Introducing Under Armour's Infinity High Sports Bra. Its ergonomic design is molded to support the natural movement of your body. With cord-out padding, the better breathability eliminates extra bulk without sacrificing support. And quick-dry padding is Under Armour's fastest-drying padding yet. When you're lifting heavy, running fast, and pushing yourself further than ever before, you need a bra that will help you go that extra mile and make you feel your best. Shop the Infinity High Sports Bra now at UA.com.
Karen is the proven expert in addiction treatment. A recent independent study showed that 94% of Karen patients were still in recovery 90 days post-treatment. Visit caron.org/real. Karen, real results, real care, real about recovery.
Hello and welcome back to the Benzinga Cannabis Hour. I'm Patrick Lane, and this, my esteemed colleague with great hair, is
Tony Noto.
Tony Noto, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm back in the game with Patrick. How are you, man?
Listen, man, I did my hair for you today. I figured I was coming on here. Tony was on with me. Great hair. I even used conditioner today. Not that
stunning
shit. No, real shampoo, real conditioner, man.
Handsome AF.
You stop it, you cad, you.
Oh, and I'll admit, this is a highlight of my week, seeing your handsome face.
You know,
on this, if we spend an hour talking about cannabis, that's a great way to round out a week that did not go well.
Oh, yeah. You know, listen, this has been an interesting week. And to top it all off, Michigan weather today is insane. It's sunny and warm, but we've had rain, we've had hail. And hail. Fog this morning. Yeah, literally. Wow. I think it was all kicked off by the debate. The debate ruined the world, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, all that encroaching fascism doesn't feel good.
Lovely, lovely. Well, we'll do what we can. We'll power through, and we have some fun today. We've got some great announcements coming through the Cannabis Hour today. Some really, really cool guests.
Yeah, we're going to break some news on this Cannabis Hour.
Yeah.
Hot off the presses.
I'm excited for this. Well, listen, let's get down to it, shall we? The first guest, as we move him over, Aaron, is John Fowle. Yep. John Fowle is the CFO of Akerna.
Akerna,
a phenomenal company in this space. And I haven't checked the stock today, but I would imagine it's going well. Maybe John can tell us a little bit more about that.
Can you hear me okay?
I can indeed.
Roger that, John.
The whole Zoom world, I think we're all getting used to. And so, so good. Sorry. So you wanted to talk about today's news release.
Yeah, I saw it. It popped up on my feed, man. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. So I think, you know, really exciting. I think, you know, we've had this relationship with Dutchie for a while, right? But really it's like in any technology environment, you're going to see that relationship evolve and take shape. And so this is really just the next evolution of that. And so, you know, the announcement we made today is really just an enhancement into the integration that we already have. And the way I characterize it, certainly as a finance person, is that we essentially eliminate a double entry scenario, and we allow for both a seamless buying and delivery experience. And so in today's age of COVID, with touchless and all this stuff, to be able to bring technology together and make it a seamless experience for both the buyer and the seller is a really great step in terms of deploying technology in the cannabis sector.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is going to be a big retail episode. We're going to be talking about a lot of e-commerce solutions because it's a touchless economy we're entering in, or we are in, but now it's becoming even more prevalent.
Yeah, I agree. I think the more that we can use, especially in cannabis technology, I mean, COVID's changed not only cannabis, but, you know, the whole environment. The more we can use technology and we're mindful of that, I think creates a win-win for all of our consumers.
How did you guys meet? Sorry, Patrick, go ahead.
No, I'm just interested to hear more about that. I feel like now more than ever, and I think COVID has been a really, really interesting catalyst for this, the emphasis on the consumer and making the product more accessible, making the experience more, simplifying it for them, I think has definitely taken focus. Have there been any challenges along the way for you guys, not only in sort of the implementation of software in some of these dispensaries and companies that you work with, but also these partnerships, right? Dutchie's a really, really big move. And I'm excited for that. I want to see more of that across the industry.
Yeah. So first of all, I do too, right? I think the more you see technologies come together, the better it is. But I don't think we've had too many headwinds. You know, I like to think about this industry as having gone from illegal to essential overnight, right? And to some extent, there's the tailwinds that come with that. And sometimes things, technologies, innovation come out of necessity, right? And so how do you actually turn a pandemic, a crisis, into creating a necessity? And that's, I think, what's really exciting about, not only what's happening in different sectors, but especially cannabis, you know, the adoption, the rapid adoption of technology, and it's really forcing people to think outside the box and how we actually deploy and change processes and technologies and integrations and relationships. And it really is, I think, creating a rapid adoption, which is certainly an exciting time to be part of the industry.
Well, and some of those moves for you and John, for our audience that doesn't know your career, your experience specifically, it sounds like you come from a background of M&A, right? You come from a background of having guided some of these acquisitions in previous companies. And we know Akerna has been somewhat active in some of these acquisitions that we've seen over the past year or so. And I'm interested to know, as we move forward, do you expect more of that? And if not from Akerna's point of view, just across the industry and where we are with COVID coming out of a really crazy economy and ideally returning somewhat to normal or some semblance of normal.
Dare we say normal, right?
Yeah, right. So do you expect more of that, do you think?
An uptick.
I do, right? I think if you step back, and you're absolutely right, Patrick, by no means is my background cannabis. You know, my background is software technology, financial operations, business operations, et cetera. And so, you know, being new to the cannabis industry is super exciting. But I think, you know, you have to look at our industry like you would almost any other industry. It's every industry, there's a tremendous amount of companies that come into the space, and we're all offering different products and services and different levels and different value propositions. And ultimately, every industry will see consolidation. And I don't think cannabis and even the broader hemp CBD, I think the technology play in our space, I think will be the same. You know, we know all the different players in the industry throughout the supply chain and the different value propositions. I think this industry, you know, over the next 20, 30 years, my guess, I always use this analogy, is that it's gonna end up like Coke and Pepsi. You know, you think about Coke and Pepsi and each one of those having their own brands. I think this industry will trend in that direction. And then 30 years from now, as we think about the true software providers to the space throughout the supply chain and throughout the vertical, I think you're going to see rapid consolidation. I think you'll see that continue both from Akerna and realistically likely from competitors in our space.
There won't be an RC Cola of cannabis.
I don't think so. No.
One of my colleagues, Andrew Ward, wrote a feature recently about M&A trends in the cannabis space. And a lot of the sources he spoke with, they said that they're going to zero in on certain factors, fundamentals. Do you think, in your opinion, what do you think that buyers or potential buyers will look for in targets or companies that may want to do a stock deal or even look for financing in that sense? Like what are they really looking for in a cannabis company?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, if you think back to how, you know, cannabis is almost the modern day gold rush, right? And we all saw this massive influx of capital, these massive overvaluations. We've certainly seen a number of our larger players in the market take significant write downs and of intangibles through acquired assets, which is unfortunately, but very very similar patterns of other types of industry who have similar characteristics. I think you're right. I think you're going to see two shifts. I think you're going to see a shift more towards fundamentals as the industry matures. There starts to be a little bit of normalization in business processes. There's going to be more focus on fundamentals than there probably was historically. I think certainly in a tech space, there's going to be more focus on revenue and margin expansion, and maybe a little less on an EBITDA, but certainly how are you growing revenue and expanding your profile? But I think the second important characteristic, and we touched on it a second ago, mm-hmm. was really the focus on consumer, right? Because it's really easy in technology space to create an idea absent the consumer, right? I have this wonderful idea that everyone's going to love, but if you're not listening to the voice of the consumer, then you're lost. And I think really what we're going to see in the next 2 to 3 years is a rapid shift towards consumer, right? Just like we talked a minute ago, the Dutchy thing that we, you know, are doing here at Akerna, that is very much a consumer-driven initiative. And as we think about where we're taking the platform, it is how are we providing value to our consumers? So I think consumers will also be a big part of that equation.
Right.
Super interesting. So let's take that a step further, if you don't mind, John. And
sure.
You know, when it comes to the focus on the consumer, right? And some of this is probably going to be led by legislation and how the regulations will change. We'll talk about that in our election special coming up shortly, right? But I think what's important is two things, really. Let's look at this one from the perspective of the investor and why the technology space as it relates to cannabis may be an interesting bet over the long run in this industry. I mean, you talk about ancillary and picks and shovels plays all the time, but the tech space and the underlying data play there is something that's super interesting, right? Now, take that a step further, and I'll ask you to maybe weigh in a little bit on what technologies may be important in the future, right? If we're looking at it from the consumer's perspective and making their lives easier, marketing to them, figuring out what it is they need and getting them that, where is technology moving in this space? And I'm taking notes because I'm going to go file a patent as soon as you finish.
We'll see where we're at in 5 years from now and how well I am. You know, that's a great question. I think where technology really across all sectors goes is to how many times can you reduce the touch points? You know, again, go back to the Dutchy example, right? We had technology built, but you had multiple touch points. Now this more integrated solution we have reduces touch points. Let's use Amazon as an example. I mean, Amazon, you click one button and that package is on your door in 24 hours, right? We all remember Amazon 15 years ago, it was multiple steps through to get to the payment screen to enter that whole cycle. I would imagine in this space, you know, at least as it relates to the consumer, is how do we reduce touch points for consumers to make it easier to facilitate the sale and transfer of goods between between buyers and sellers. And so I think you'll see a lot of innovation in that way. And then certainly as we give thought to how, the deregulation, at least around banking and then when the payment options open up, I mean, I think the floodgate of investment in technologies that will service sort of that element of the supply chain and the purchasing process will come and flood this market extensively. And so I think really being prepared in advance of that, I think you're going to see a lot of investment going in that direction ahead of that change.
Yeah. So I guess one more question from my end on the technology piece. You guys have been one of the OGs in the space, right? MJ Freeway, right? Yeah. We know this company, we know it well. How do you, as one of the leaders, as one of the giants in this space, how do you keep things fresh, right? I mean, let's take this Dutchy partnership, for instance, and lift that up. But what are other ways that you guys are attacking the market, keeping market share, growing market share, and just, you know, continuing to push forward?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, there's certainly no shortage of ideas, that's for sure. I think what's really interesting, and I always give analogies, like if we were making chairs, there's not really anything exciting, but you're really in the modern day gold rush. You know, you talked about the picks and shovels examples. You know, who made out in the gold rush? Not the people mining gold. It was the picks and shovels. It was Levi Jeans. And so there's so much innovation that can happen when you're adjacent to the world's fastest growing industry. And so, you know, I certainly by no means am a thought leader in technology and idea. And that's what, you know, you have folks like Jessica and our board who have this extensive and rich history in cannabis and even the broader hemp and CBD space. They're all, and then certainly Jessica with her technology mindset, you know, the intersect of tech and industry together is, I mean, the idea is just, they're just always flowing. What can we do? How can we do it? How can we be faster, cheaper, better, more innovative? And there's certainly no shortage of ideas, but I always go back to listen to the customers, right? When you can start thinking about what problems am I solving for the customers? How do I make your life easier? That's really where innovation comes. And so, you know, for us, it's, you know, with COVID, it's difficult because you don't get as much interaction and face to face, but you know, we certainly adopt different forms of that and are always working to integrate and or interact with our customers to understand their business better. So how can we innovate to serve this industry better? And I think that's where a lot of that innovation comes from.
We didn't talk about priority technology companies, priority technology holdings. Right. That was another partnership that you guys inked recently. Right. Let's dig in.
So super exciting relationship we have with Priority. So again, you know, I talked a little bit ago about sort of how are you preparing for the future? You know, what are you doing to get ready for it? And so we have a nice list of hemp and CBD customers today that use our retail software. And so this is an opportunity to create the seamless and facilitate seamless payment processing for them. And so that's a really exciting thing that can actually be used in a retail setting today that now the concept of payment processing, and again, you're reducing the touch points, right? You're not over here doing your POS and then over here doing the card. It's all in one system, right? And so for us, it's just really step one of that process and solidifying ourselves in the hemp and CBD sector. And also almost like a proof of concept, right? Let's really get this rolled out. Let's get this used. Let's get people using it. Let's understand how do we go from, you know, what is phase one, two, you know, phase two and three development of the platform, so we can make sure that we're ready when that time comes to serve as a much larger market.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. I mean, listen, you guys have been around for a while. And when did you join the company, John?
It's been about a year. It's been about a year.
Yeah. Wow. What a crazy year it must have been for you.
Well, it's been interesting. Acquisitions and COVID and, you know, all that fun stuff. But I mean, you know, I've reached out to, you know, my peers. I mean, I think the CFO network is really tight, and I've reached out to my peers and other companies. And I think there's a lot of that same sentiment. We're still bullish on the market. We're still very bullish on the role technology plays. The industry is so young and so immature, and it's growing and it changes every day. It's unlike any industry I've been a part of. And you know, you can only imagine the innovation that's going to come as a result of all of the excitement and like, just overall excitement people have for the space and how to make cannabis more effective and distribution models and so forth.
Well, where do you think the industry is going to go in the next year or Akerna more specifically? Let's narrow it down.
I thought you said, what do you think is going to happen in the election? And we were going to go down that route.
Oh, well, we could. We don't have enough time for that.
Not yet.
No, I think you're going to see for us a lot more of the same, right? A lot of the same forward thought, innovating, you know, being opportunistic in the market, you know, lots of partnerships. You know, we love partnerships. We're not trying to create the wheel. We want to partner with the best in class, you know, again, focusing on delivering a really quality product for our customers and ultimately our consumers.
So one more question for you, John, and we'll have to let you go, but investors that are watching today, why Akerna? Why is it a company that they should take another look at?
You know, for, I think, a couple reasons. Number one, you know, size of our market. Well, let's talk back even bigger, right? I mean, what is our strategy? Really, it's taking time to understand the industry. What are some of the likely consumer trends in the industry? Where is this industry going to go in the next 15 to 20 years? Great. Understand the industry. Then really understand what's our strategy, right? How are we addressing that? What have we done historically that would really give indication of where we're going in the future? We're, you know, as a public company, we disclose a lot of information about our strategy, which is to innovate or innovate organically or look for inorganic opportunities. And so you think about how this industry is going to consolidate and use technology. You know, we talked very early on, I think, in the conversation about the history that MJ has and really our underlying data set, right? And as we know, as industries mature, data becomes a much more valuable asset. And certainly we have a ginormous underlying data set. And how does that extend itself to the the industry, and then certainly the strategic partnerships we have as well, and our strategic integrations with ERPs or other softwares and so forth. So I think people understand our strategy, and they know where we're headed as an organization, and certainly we'll be executing on that in the years ahead.
Great.
Awesome. Well, thank you, John. We really appreciate you joining us.
Great to be on.
The ticker symbol KERN.
KERN.
KERN on NASDAQ. So
that's right.
Thank you, John. We appreciate you jumping on. I'm
all
sure
right.
We'll
happy to be
you
here.
Again soon.
Okay, yeah, great. Continue keeping us in the loop.
Great. All anytime. Right, thanks, care. Guys.
Thanks, John.
Bye.
Very cool.
Yeah. Apologies for the folks watching on YouTube. There's a 5-month-old puppy who's decided to start a wrestling match with me right now, and I hope it doesn't detract from the great things that John had to say.
It didn't. You know what? I don't know who I want to win, though. If I have to take a side, I'm not sure that I can pick someone.
So. I'm the underdog, ironically.
Oh, very ironic, actually.
The missus is a matchmaker, so she's got her Zoom calls with her clients. And I was like, you got to take the dog. And she was like, nope. So I lost that one, too.
COVID does this to all of us. So
yes, it's the new normal.
No worries, man. Well, listen, let's keep it moving.
Yes.
Next up, as we move him over, is Barry Saake, the CEO of Greenbits.
Yes.
And Barry, as you come over and we get your video and your audio up and running, man.
There we go.
Barry, how are you?
Hey, guys. Good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Now, this is a really cool segue here. We had John from Akerna. Now we have you on from Greenbits, a really, really interesting platform. You guys are solving a lot of, I think, the POS headaches that a lot of these dispensaries are going through on a daily basis. I wonder if you could give us and our audience just a little color for anybody who doesn't know Greenbits, what they should know about you.
Yeah, so Greenbits is the leading point of sale and inventory management system. It's a SaaS platform that more dispensaries use than anybody else to run their point of sale. So we will process this year about $4 billion in transactions on our platform. About 1,200
locations.
$4 billion. Yeah, about 1,200 locations use us to run their stores.
Insane, man. Insane. $4 billion. Yeah. And so now, when it comes to the markets that you guys are in, can you give us any color there? I would imagine it's a ton, but
13 states in the U.S. We're focused mostly on rec markets, so we tend to have a bigger presence in the recreational market.
Yeah, no,
but
we're
on east,
west
coast, middle, east and west coast, across the whole country. So, you know, from California, Nevada, Montana, Maine, Michigan, all over the place.
There was a big announcement earlier this year that you guys raised a sizable Series B funding, Tiger Global, Casa Verde. So is there another funding round coming up or what?
We're still using the money from the other one. So
I just didn't know how much on turbo mode you were.
Stuff. Yeah, we're busy building stuff for our customers with the money we got. So we're doing great, spending a lot of focus on really scaling and getting ready for the next phase of growth. I think if you talk to a lot of cannabis dispensaries, they'll probably say they're sensing from a lot of the software providers, you know, there was this early sort of rush to market. There's a lot of different companies out there. We're seeing, you know, Greenbits, we certainly went through our phase of, oh boy, we got to get our act together and build for scale. It's part of the reason I'm here is I come from Intuit and large software, Silicon Valley background. And so we are building in scale and performance and reliability into our system so we can meet the needs of the future growth. So that's what we're dealing with. The money is spending on that.
No, that's awesome. It's probably a great use of that money too. So give us a sense, Barry, when it comes to the tools that are currently available on the platform. I think we're going to talk about some that you've maybe recently added. But I think it's always interesting to know how you guys are addressing some of these challenges that these dispensaries are and then their customers are going through.
Sure. Well, we focus a lot on making sure that dispensaries can run at high volume. So we have a point of sale system and then a back-end inventory management system that work together to allow you to conduct sales very quickly, check users in by scanning IDs. Most of our products work through scanning products, so it's very quick to build an order and process a sale for a customer. We have client-based software that runs on our register. So actually, if the internet goes down or you have hiccups in Wi-Fi connectivity, we still run at full speed. So we call it emergency mode. So we're not beholden to the network to keep things running. So we've really focused on building a whole system that's got one main goal in mind, which is keeping the throughput of the dispensaries going at high volume. We also then really focused on compliance and filing as well. So Greenbiz has a history at starting of helping solve the problem of how do you do all your filings properly with the various compliance agencies so that you are in, you know, compliant with the rules and the laws and pay your taxes properly. And so we do all that in an automated way for our customers as well. So again, saving time. You're not spending time in Excel and managing reports and then sending things to the compliance agency. We actually just do it all transparently for you.
Well, and so the integrations there with other softwares, I'm assuming like Metric and others out there must be quite important for you.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, we integrate with Metric and Leafly and BioTrack where we need it. So all the big guys. And then we also, I know you were talking about integrating with some of the guys on the front end. We integrate as well with some of the menu providers out there, the online shopping providers as well.
Great. Yeah, it's fun to see how these technologies are shifting, both for the sort of back end business half of things, and then certainly the consumer facing pieces as well.
Yeah.
And I love what you said. I mean, this is probably a standard in a lot of retail platforms, I would imagine, to have this emergency mode, right? Where you can continue to process transactions even when the Wi-Fi goes down. And damn you, Comcast, we'll stick it to you one way or the other, right?
Yeah, you bet. I mean, there's actually a lot, you know, the cannabis industry has been a lot of fun for me. I'm new to it. But the thing that's interesting, you know, there's lots of industries that have a lot of similarities that have already been through a lot of these journeys. You know, retail's been around forever. Point of sale systems aren't new. Purchasing things with credit cards and stuff isn't new. Delivery, all that stuff. It's actually been done in a lot of different places. Now, cannabis provides a whole different wrinkle to it all. There's different compliance rules for sure. There's also different types of products and ways to think about categorizing and organizing the products. But there's lots of examples from other industries to pull together to go solve the problems in this space. And that's what I see is happening is we're just, you know, catching up with a lot of other industries actually.
What would you say is the other industry that is, I guess, the most relatable to cannabis? Because it seems like such a different industry or different beast altogether to the average person, but you're in it. What other industry would you think that, it's comparable, like we can mimic this aspect of this niche or whatever?
Well, I think there's not just one, because I think it depends on which piece of the overall ecosystem you're talking about. Okay. I worked on TurboTax for a long, long time. And so filing reports back to, you know, Metric and, you know, to the government agencies, that actually has a lot of similarities in some of the tax compliance work that I've done in my past. You know, on the front end side, the retail experience, there's a lot of similarities to, you know, software for coffee shops, as well as restaurants and, you know, taking bookings for restaurants because you've got like a check-in procedure and reservations. So there's elements from different industries that I think you pull in. There's not one. I mean, that's the neat thing about cannabis is it's definitely unique. And so there's not one you can just say, oh, it's just like that.
Right.
But there's lots of pieces and components from other industries to look at.
That brings up a good point. You know, you look at some of these newer coffee shops or restaurants and you see some of their point of sale systems like Toast for restaurants or coffee shops or something, right? That's a somewhat newer software over the last several years. And then you look like at some of these retail giants like a Nordstrom or a Macy's, and they're still pounding away at these IBM computers and these legacy systems, right? It doesn't look as clean. It doesn't look as fresh. The system is definitely not as versatile in terms of working with the consumer. Do you attribute that to this just being a newer, more agile industry, things changing? What do you think about that?
I actually attribute it to something else, which is that I think it's easy when you're a customer to underestimate how much workflow is built into the system that the retailers and the managers of the store are using.
Interesting. Okay.
And so what you're seeing is like you go to a big retailer, you know, Best Buy or a Walmart or somewhere, like changing that point of sale system is huge because it's integrated into their back-end finances, it's integrated into their training, it's integrated into their processes for doing returns and sale. Like it, like changing it is a huge, huge deal because all the store operations are fundamentally built into the point of sale. We're doing the same thing with our stores as well. So we spend a lot of time with our stores talking about the workflows they're trying to support and do. And then we build that into our software to make it flexible so that they can get the things done and run the stores that they, the way they want to run the store.
So,
and I think that's why you're seeing like a Toast and some of those actually start making inroads in restaurant and coffee shop spaces for the same reasons. They've really looked at the vertical and said, okay, what things do I need to do really well in a coffee shop to go win more coffee shops, you know, using my point of sale system?
Well, and that's super interesting. One quick follow-up there. I think that from my perspective, it's certainly important to us at Benzing and the way that we've organized our business. And I would imagine it would be to most people, but that recurring revenue that is sticky revenue, right? That those relationships that are very hard to change based on how you're integrating into your clients' lives and businesses, that's an ideal scenario, right? In terms of being, you know, almost a necessary aspect of their business strategy. Right. So I would imagine any investor that's looking at your company, any other potential partners are going to bank on that as a path to success. Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, it's what attracted me to Greenbits. I joined the company in December, just so I haven't even been there a year yet. But that was one of the really exciting things for me about Greenbits. And I mentioned I came from, you know, Intuit. Mm-hmm. We talked about TurboTax. One of our other products was QuickBooks. And it's the same kind of thing where if you can be that financial backbone for the company, you're in a really good spot in terms of helping solve their needs and being able to then add in other services and offer other things to solve other problems that the customer has. It's a big responsibility, though. Like I'll say, that's why we're really focused on scalability and reliability. I mean, we can't go down. People's livelihoods depend on our software working well. They're, you know, people are running their stores. This is their thing. Like their families depend on this, on the store working, and the store only works if the software works well. So we take that to heart and we take it really seriously.
If the software doesn't work, is Greenbits a call away? Like, how do you guys send someone there to fix it? Or is it all done? Like, how do you handle when things go awry?
Well, yes and yes. So we're always here. We're a call away. We're in close contact with our customers. So when things come up, we're always working very closely. We're getting really good at working remotely, as most people are in the COVID days. But we have been doing some on-sites in some instances, actually, to help people with individual problems. And it's interesting, our software, so because we are the hub and of the dispensary, we have done lots of integrations and partnerships with lots of other software too. So there are a lot of things that we run into. You can take, like you mentioned, Metric a lot. Like there, you'll run into issues with partnership and things working. And so a lot of times we'll have to come in and help out for things that are actually happening with the other systems we're integrating with. But we're happy to do it to help our customers be successful. That's what we care about.
Ecosystem of technology is definitely important in that end.
For sure.
You know, I wonder too, and you know, we don't have to name names here. In fact, it's probably better if we don't. But when it comes to some of these outages, right, that have happened, and I'm not familiar with any of them recently, right? So I'm just not up on my news. But I remember at least a year or two ago, there were some huge outages, especially in the Pacific Northwest. And I remember hearing about these, and I wonder if when those happen, companies like you guys would look at those as an opportunity, right? If something, I mean, God forbid our neighbor, our colleagues from a different company, their system goes down in a state, you know, like Oregon or Washington, and nobody can process anything. Is that then an opportunity for you?
Well, absolutely it is. I mean, if you're, you know, I mean, the most important feature for a customer is that the software is up and running, is reliable. And I keep telling my product manager and engineers that, like, don't forget, that's the most important feature. And so certainly, yeah, when competitors have hiccups, it presents an opportunity. We've been seeing lots of opportunities.
Yeah. Well, there are new dispensaries opening all the time. Have you been surprised at the amount of new stores opening and the new opportunities that present themselves in such a, I don't know, such a weird year? It's your first, it's, you know, it's your freshman year. You know, you're you're new there. But I mean, was there any surprises at how well how maybe not so well the industry is doing?
Well, I did expect a lot of growth. I mean, I came in knowing this is a growing industry for sure. And we do have some early read because we can see the licenses being distributed in certain states. Oklahoma's been, you know, going gangbusters, actually, with lots of new stores. And we had a little, you know, we knew that was happening as we saw it coming. I think what's been interesting is seeing the COVID impact on things. In some states, it doesn't seem to have slowed things down very much. And there's some states where we have our, you know, customers that have signed up and said, well, I can't get the inspector out to do my final inspection of my store because they won't actually leave the office. And so it really does vary state by state, kind of just depending upon how they're implementing all the rules regarding COVID.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that for a couple of the minutes that we have left here. COVID, your first year on the job, COVID comes in. I mean, very similar to John, who we just spoke to from Akerna, but you know, how has that impacted how you guys have gone to market this year? The partnerships, the integrations, all of that, how you work with your customers, how's it been for you?
I think it's been actually a real positive. I mean, I hate to say like the pandemic's been good in some way, but I mean, for our company,
silver lining. It's actually, silver lining.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it. There's definitely a good silver lining for us. I had been there about 3 months before the shutdown started happening. So we had put in a bunch of new processes I'd learned from other businesses and kind of brought them that gave us the foundation for working remotely. The great thing that COVID actually added was that it did force us to get better at doing things in a more automated and remote way. And so rather than just thinking, okay, this next part of the process of getting a customer, you know, onboarded or get through the sales process is going to be some high touch in-person thing and we'll schedule it and wait. Like, well, that's not an option. So figure out a different way to go do it. You know, and it's actually been helpful because I think it's opened our own eyes to say, you know, that doesn't need to be done in person actually. And, you know, we've now learned that we don't have to. So I think it's really helped accelerate a lot of things in that way. The other part of it has been great is we're, you know, the stores are selling a ton of cannabis. And so we're seeing a big bump in transactions and sales this year, actually, from our customers. So it's been good from that standpoint. Now, there's certainly been some rough, it's been hard for people, though. And so there's definitely, we've had to adjust. We've had to help stores adopt new workflows and lean into delivery more. The fire situation has been horrible, too. Yeah. That's been a whole new thing. I mean, this year has been really crazy. I mean, we've had customers that had their stores burned down. It's just heartbreaking. So been a crazy year.
What about deepening the bench? Are you guys hiring? And if so, into what capacity?
We've been hiring quite a bit, definitely focused on engineering. So as I mentioned, we're using the funds to build out the robustness and reliability of the platform and expand the feature set as well. And that requires great engineering talent. So we've been building that team.
Well, and sorry, Tony, let's take that one step further, Barry, with just probably the minute or two that we have left here. Features that are important to you. And I understand you may not want to divulge all of that information, but you know, where are you placing the focus on how you adjust the platform and on which side of the house, right? Are you focused more on the consumer, focused more on the business? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mentioned the workflows and how they're integrated into the products. So that's really the center point of where I focus on our investments. So right now we're looking a lot at reporting. We haven't invested enough in our reporting infrastructure over the years, and we've got a lot of feedback that we're just not giving people the information they need. There's a new reporting feature coming out in our product, and it's out in beta with some customers right now. Had great feedback. It's solving this need for understanding like how much did I sell today? How much should I sell last week? And what should I buy for the next month because based on my sales history? You know, we're answering those key questions to help the stores plan and run their stores efficiently. And then a bunch of other, you know, workflow and management features that allow a store manager to really run a store like we've talked about, like the Best Buys and the Walmarts. You know, they have that power of this big system that has all these rules and capability that allows basically a manager to run their store at scale. And we're doing the same thing, building those types of features into the point of sale system.
Very cool. Thank you. Well, Barry, you know, I hope we get to see you in a couple of weeks. I know our teams are talking about a couple of panels that hopefully we can get you on, man. It's just a wealth of knowledge. And, you know, I'm a big believer in technology in this space, as I just said to John, and to Tony. I feel like that's where the real interest is in this space, especially from the investors that I speak to. So ideally, we'll see you again very soon, my friend. Thanks for coming on. And where can people reach you or your team if they'd like to learn more?
Greenbits.com. You can reach out and find us there. I'm Barry@greenbits.com. Somebody wants to email me and shoot me a note, that'd be great. Thanks for having me. I look forward to talking to you guys in the future.
Thanks, Barry.
Take care, Barry.
Talk to you later.
All right. Well, yeah, really, really cool. I love this. I love the technology, the payments that we're getting into today. I mean, it's a really, really interesting part of the industry.
Yeah.
Because it's affecting, well, I mean, look at it from what Barry just said, reporting, you've got inventory management, you've got the point of sale, which obviously faces the consumer and deals with a lot of the business aspects as well.
Yeah, I love that because the technology aspect of certain things just escapes me because my brain is not there. But I love that we have a lot in common, we're discovering this year, because when we're all in this together, this messy situation, we have to reevaluate the way we approach work.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked how he talked about that, how they realized, hey, maybe what we're doing, you know, those quick pivots to make business go seamlessly in a way.
It's funny that you say that. My wife tells me all the time that if she has to hear me say the word pivot on a call one more time.
Pivot. Because she thinks she remembers Ross from Friends.
That's what it is. Yeah, I guess. Course. Listen, I feel like between the two of us, we could come up with a good Ross impersonation.
I saw that he reminds me of Nicolas Cage. So I feel like if you do a Ross impression, you're just also doing Nicolas Cage.
I guess.
And I saw a meme the other day. Somebody made a T-shirt of Ross that said "Just Pivot," but with the Nike symbol.
I like that.
It was like a black and white serious photo of him and said "Just Pivot."
I like it. I like it. David Schwimmer would be very happy, I'm sure.
Of course, yeah.
I'm sure. Well, listen, let's keep it rolling.
Yes.
On the technology and payments vein that we have dived into today, we have our good friend Daniel, and I never remember how to pronounce this correctly. Mueller. Daniel Mueller. He'll have to come over and tell us what the correct pronunciation is. But the CEO and founder of AeroPay. Really, really cool platform, and one that I'm excited about. What's up, Daniel?
What's up, guys?
How you Mueller doing? Or Mueller?
Mueller, technically.
Mueller, I knew it. I knew it.
No, umlaut, technically, but Mueller, yeah.
Like Bueller.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, a good Ferris Bueller reference, I'll always say.
This is not a Daniel Mueller day off, though. You are in the home office talking to us.
Indeed. So I'm so excited to talk to you guys. I've spoken to a couple of people on your team before, Daniel, but AeroPay, I mean, it's at the intersection of fintech and cannabis, which is exactly where Benzinga is. So although we approach it from the media side and you guys have all the fun with the technology. So I'm excited to learn more. I'd love you to just take a second and introduce the company to our audience. If they don't know about you guys, I'm sure they're going to be hearing a lot more about you.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thank you guys for having me, for having us on.
Of course.
You know, in short, AeroPay is an alternative payment platform that allows businesses of really all types to accept payments through what we call a smart bank transfer. So behind the scenes, it's ACH through our bank partners. But on the front end, we use technology to better qualify the nature of each payment. And we happen to do kind of three main things that are benefiting businesses. We're saving them on traditional fees or the movement of money. We're creating a more secure environment, and we're reducing settlement times. So when you create new innovative ways of moving money, you can do things that benefit different businesses in different ways. The cannabis payments problem is well known at this point, major underserved market. And, you know, a calculated decision for us to come in and solve this problem. And we've done it in a very different way, which I'm, you know, happy to dive into. But that's an overview of AeroPay. We're Chicago based, founded in 2017 with, you know, folks from banking, financial services, technology, e-commerce, all over, folks with all different backgrounds.
So I don't think it would hurt for us to know how you guys are different in the way you process these transactions. I mean, it's an absolute quagmire, the banking and payment space in this industry. So I'd love to just hear a little bit more about that.
So traditionally, you've seen folks try to take you know, previous methods, traditional methods, whether it's cards, and try to form fit them into the cannabis space. And the problem there is that due to the, you know, the federal illegality, the card networks are never going to kind of play nice in that space, and other networks, incumbent payments players, aren't going to play nice in that space. Instead of kind of creating workarounds, what we said was, let's take an opposite approach, go directly to state examiners and regulators, collaborate with them. Specifically, we did this with the state of Colorado, the Department of Regulatory Agencies, and the Med. They put out a call to, you know, the private sector roadmap of financial services. And we came up with this plan to bring it AeroPay to the cannabis market. They introduced us to a bunch of financial institutions that allowed us to work with them and create a compliant, the most compliant payment method you could bring to the market. So substantially different than trying to create a workaround to work for the market. Rather, take it head on, meet with the examiners, bring our technology to the space, which has already been working in the non-cannabis space since 2017, and bring best practices from the traditional non-cannabis payments market to that market.
Very cool. Thank you for that. And how's it been? It been in rolling this out?
It's been great. I mean, I think the biggest thing is, you know, the breath of fresh air that businesses have when they finally see something that's compliant, easy to use, intuitive. It takes about a day or so to onboard businesses, not the multiple weeks it takes to sign up businesses through.
A day or so? How do you do that?
So it's a lot of work behind the scenes with our partners, our bank partners. They put us through a really strict process, but you know, we do a lot with technology, with KYC partners to do things like automatic checks through the Secretary of State filings, make sure licenses are in good standing. So we do a lot with technology to make sure that we can see things about the business, make sure things are done compliantly, and then as a result, have an extremely quick turnaround time on signups for businesses. And for consumers, the key there is not storing things like social security numbers, no transaction limits, making it a lot easier. You know, what's our expectation today, right? You download a fintech app or you want to pay with a method, it should be instant. You should be able to use your bank account credentials, not routing and account numbers. And we really bring that approach to our payment method.
It's interesting. I mean, we're at a time where we're looking forward to next month, obviously a little over a month away to the election. Cannabis legalization is top of mind for a lot of folks who watch this, the Benzinga Cannabis Hour. They're going to come to our event later this month, and they're going to be talking about it. How do you envision your place in the industry when legalization, if it goes through in certain states? I know people have their expectations, like in New Jersey, expectations are high that it's going to be legal there. So how do you envision AeroPay's place in the industry going forward after the election?
I think, more financial services technology companies in this space for the long term is a really healthy thing for the environment, right? It's, we see ourselves as a long-term participant, somebody that's always going to advocate for more financial services for the space. And even if traditional methods come into the space, allowing our innovation to kind of react and work its way outward to mainstream industries is the way we see it, right? If you can take technology and prove it through an underserved market and then maybe leapfrog the way we think about moving money, then that could extend to normal and standard mainstream businesses than in the non-cannabis space. So that's the way we see how things may change and our view on it, but we want to be an active ambassador for financial services for cannabis, and then the way it could affect the space in the long term.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, Tony. Did you have something else there?
Well, I was gonna say he's mentioned the non-cannabis space, and your background is in the non-cannabis space. Like you brought a lot of skills from other aspects of finance and innovation. Synchrony Financial. Were you with them when they acquired your company, GP Shop? Oh.
Yeah, I left just before the acquisition to start AeroPay, The experience, it within, GP Shopper building, large scale technology solutions for large retailers and brands, and seeing really how difficult it was to accept traditional methods. And there's been, great innovation in how to, process credit cards online, but we've never really leapfrogged the entire, you know, credit card process, right? It could take anywhere from 20 steps to move money from point A to B with a card. Why don't we just use, you know, a smart bank transfer to really circumvent the entire environment? And if that can then digitize payments for the cannabis space and avoid the cash problem and the cashless ATM and the non-compliant cards and cryptocurrency, offshore banking, gift cards, all the problems that we've seen historically, mm-hmm. let's do that first there, you know, create a sound solution in the cannabis space, and then let that work its way to other high-risk industries, traditional industries, and create a better way to move money for businesses. And that's not limited to in-store retail payments, but, you know, you think about e-commerce, B2B, large enterprise, you know, the problem is wide, and you speak to cannabis professionals everywhere, and there's usually a payments pain point, you know, right at the forefront of their day-to-day operations.
So, I mean, let's dive in there for just one second, only because I'm curious. I may be the only one who is, but I'll
let you know.
I'll admit that. Thanks, Tony. But whose lunch is getting eaten in that process, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're identifying, you know, the real pain point for some of these folks, these businesses, let's say cannabis industry specifically, but you mentioned credit cards and the 20 different spots along that payment process that have to be moved through in order for that payment to go from point A to B or Z in this case, what are you cutting out of the picture?
Yeah, well, specifically in cannabis today, it's cash, right? So that's still the majority of payments. And I think, you know, if you look at our world today, the headaches with cash, you know, now you're looking at a COVID world, and then you're
carry cash anymore? Do you have cash?
Well, that you have to if you want to buy, you know, in store, and if even curbside e-com, you're online, but you can't prepay. So there's, you know, high.
Some of those old school bodegas here in Manhattan still, you know, right. In the tavern life when you used to be able to go to a bar, only bar, not anymore.
Remember what that was like?
Yeah. You can get a cash discount at those places, things like that. But you know,
Sarge's.
In those worlds, you know, you're looking at, you know, ISOs, card gateways, you know, networks, things like that. I mean, ultimately, I think the way we see it is we are going to complement the environment, right? Like, we're never going to replace everything. We're an alternative option, one which we think in a, you know, in a COVID world where things are now moving toward card not present or, you know, digital payments that revolve around cards, there's still those high fees associated to them and high risk rates. So we want to be a digital payment option that's an alternative to those and give businesses opportunity to save money on their transactions. And for cannabis, it's really just giving those businesses the opportunity to operate, you know, normal day-to-day operations through digital payments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
So I gave a plug for Sarge's before. I forgot that I was talking to a Chicago guy. Sarge's mm-hmm. is known for like the most famous pastrami sandwich here in New York. So I forget sometimes that I'm not talking to New Yorkers.
I'm originally from New York, actually.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
So you got that reference. They cut like 4% if you pay in cash.
Good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the cash discount is known really well in New York across the whole city. And that's, you know, something that I personally have a big passion about. Like, you know, we're ultimately small business folks, right? In one city block, you've got pretty much every single type of business you could want, and you get to know those folks. And big passion for why I started AeroPay is just to help out, you know, local businesses and communities with a better payment option.
So I got to ask, I know we have other stuff to get to. So just real quick, because when I was writing a lot about fintech startups, a lot of them stressed how important it was to be based in New York. You said you're a New Yorker, but you launched the company in Chicago, or did you take it out there, and why Chicago?
Yeah, so I originally from New York, moved to Chicago to start an office for GP Shopper, which sold to Synchrony Financial, and I decided to start the company in Chicago really with a few things in mind. I really loved the financial services roots that the city had, you know, when you look at the Board of Trade and different companies that, you know, have looked, you know, toward the local business side for a long time. You've got, you know, the Groupons, Grubhubs of the world. So the, you know, the intersection of marketplace businesses that help local businesses grow plus financial services history, I thought made a really sound place for starting the company. And then the level of talent and operational benefit that you get with starting a company in Chicago We recently closed our seed round of funding with, you know, lead investors based in Chicago that also have a history in financial services with Discover Financial. So it's really worked out in our favor. I think we're definitely waving the flag. We're up for a Momentum Award later tonight with 1871.
You think you'll win?
Hopeful. We're up for the Industry Disruptor Award. So we'll see.
Okay.
I should mention, I think you're up for a Benzinga Global FinTech Award as well.
Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah. I'm excited about that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. So I guess the one real question that's top of mind for me, man, is that there's a lot of payments providers out there, especially in cannabis, right? And I think each one comes with its mountain of hurdles, right? To jump over. Why you guys, for any of the dispensaries out there, any of the businesses, why AeroPay?
Yeah, I think in short, you know, we're just going to bring the most compliant, simple process to your business. You know, it's a problem that has become almost, in a way, fatiguing to all cannabis professionals, right? They look at the payments problem and they're just like, okay, I can't do anything about that. I'll just shelf it. You know, even when we're talking to massive companies and they're saying, oh, another provider. What we're going to do is going to bring the absolute best practices, right? No PII collection, you know, no transaction limits. We're partnering with the best FIs in the space. We're working directly with state regulators. They're, you know, you're not going to use a workaround solution. You don't need to. We're not one of those companies, and we will never be one of those companies. So I just think, you know, our DNA is different. Our thesis is different about payments overall. So we're going to be much different. And I think that's what we get when we, you know, we have no long-term contracts, right? We're never going to lock you into a year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year, because we're so confident that once, you know, folks get started with our payment method, it's going to win for their business. And that's how we think payments should work by default.
No, it's interesting, man. I mean, I'll be honest, in this show with the three of you guys coming on, this is the first time I haven't not wanted to talk about payments. Like, especially in this space, it is it's an absolute mind drain.
Yeah.
To figure out how we're going to move past some of these issues, right?
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that. I really do. And I think it's a problem that needs solving. And ideally, as we all move forward, you know, it gets easier and easier, not only for the consumer to pay for their product, but for these companies to operate.
Yeah, I hope it gets a little less painful here. That's, you know, we are trying to just bring a straightforward approach to this, you know, not trying to dance around it. And I think we're chipping away at a stigma that's, you know, been long in development, unfortunately, where you think payments and cannabis and, you know, the laundry list of problems start showing up. So hopefully we can be part of that change.
What's the biggest headache? There's a long laundry list of problems. Which is like numero uno on that list?
For us or for the businesses that are accepting?
Let's do both. What's for you first?
Yeah, I would say for us, it's just educating folks on how we are different, right? And some of that's in the nuance of the actual product and the onboarding. And so we quickly moved towards showcasing the way things work on our product, because we know that that's the clearest way of communicating that, rather than doing a lot of talking about it. We can actually showcase here's how it works. Yeah. For the companies, I think it varies, right? One of the things people really like about us is that, you know, we can work in all environments for all types of businesses. So we serve the entire supply chain. A lot of, you know, cannabis payment solutions are really designed around in-store payments and, you know, hardware around, you know, PIN codes and apps that work by checking into the store. We're going to provide one solution that does the same thing across, you know, all types of use cases, but can be extensible by use case. So if you're, you know, a B2B wholesaler, you're a lab, you're a delivery platform, you know, you're a multi-location dispensary group or MSO, we can easily slot in any one of those environments. And when you build technology the right way, that's how it really should be. And it shouldn't be more complicated than people are making it out to be.
Man, you said it. It shouldn't be more complicated than people are making it out to be. That's my tagline for 2020.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Daniel, I really appreciate you joining us, man. AeroPay, really, really cool platform. We're going to hear more from you soon. Hope to see you at one of our conferences. Maybe you'll get a Benzinga Global FinTech Award. We'll see.
Maybe. Yeah. Dan, real quick before you go.
Yes, sir.
Favorite Chicago style pizza?
Melnatti's? Are we going Melnatti's?
I'm a tavern style thin crust guy, and it's not because of New York, but it actually it is. If I had to choose deep dish, I like Pequod's. I like Lou Malnati's. It's great.
I was about to say, man, your apartment in Chicago is about to get mobbed. People are going to come down the street and get you. Well, two shameless plugs from my friends' restaurants in Chicago's Gussie's Handmade Italian in Old Town, brand new, and the Tortoise Club State and Hubbard. Really, really good food. So make sure you check it out.
I've been to the Tortoise.
I can't believe you said thin crust Chicago.
Tavern style.
All right. We'll let it slide. Yeah. All right, Daniel. Thanks for joining us, man. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Take care, Dan.
Wow. What a great show.
Yeah, it was. I mean, who would have thought retail and e-commerce would be so much fun?
Yeah. Well, and I tell you, I'm not kidding. This payment space in this industry, it is an absolute quagmire.
Yeah.
So it's fun to hear people address it in a way that's like, no. We might actually have this under control.
Yeah. I like that we had the Chicago perspective because, it's no joke that a lot of these fintech companies, they start up here in New York because of the Wall Street connection, but that's all changed now. And AeroPay is kind of like the new kid, but like, you know, doing it in like another city that's like, that it's really, it's a different take.
Well, aren't Discover's headquarters outside of Chicago in a suburb somewhere? Yeah, so I mean, we're Midwesterners, right? Benzinga is headquartered in Detroit, so we're strongly on that train. Like, yeah, we can go to New York, we can go to San Francisco or L.A. or even Chicago.
Yeah,
but it's kind of important to have your own identity and to be authentic. So
yeah,
I applaud him for that.
Well, I'm just waiting to see you guys in person. I mean, I'm just glad we're on the same time zone.
I know.
5 o'clock here, 5 o'clock there.
Dog. Where did the dog go?
Oh, finally, the missus came in and was like, oh, do you need a hand? Yeah, thank you. Take him. Little Ernie, you handle him for a while.
Good. I just assumed you pulled out like a peanut butter treat or something. And
I think in edit that the screen is a little bit smaller, so maybe they might not see the puppy trying to jump on me and stuff. So hopefully I hope not. I don't know.
I hope that it stays in there all the time. Well, listen, I always love being on here with you, Tony. It's great. We had a great show today. Barry, John, Dan, it's an exciting time. So tune in for more, you guys.
And until next time, we have a show next week, same Benzinga time and channel. And also the event coming up. I don't know if you want to plug it, but that's a good way to sign off.
Why not?
I'll leave it to you.
October 15th. It's our largest cannabis conference yet. We expect nearly 4,000 people to attend. It is virtual, so log on to bzcannabis.com and grab what I think could still be a free ticket. And I don't know that those will last too much longer. So
yeah,
check that out. It's going to be really, really good content. We'll have some of these folks that you saw today involved, and quite a bit more. So
I'll be on there, fireside chat. This thing will be lit.
Yes.
Like always. And we're going to have some fun.
All right.
No Tommy Chong, though, this time, unfortunately.
Listen, you can't have cannabis legends every time. You'll be the cannabis legend this time around, my friend.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, you guys. Well, thank you for joining us, Tony. Pleasure as always.
Pleasure, Patrick.
Until the next time, be safe. We'll see you soon.
Switching and saving with GEICO is easy, so you're freed to ponder life's big questions, Like, if a person can get discombobulated, does that mean the rest of the time they're just, like, combobulated? Are we humans always in a state of combobulation? Until, of course, something dramatic happens and we are discombobulated for a while. Then we go back to being combobulated. Yeah, that's probably how that works. Switch and save with Geico. It's easier than you think.
Karen is the proven expert in addiction treatment. A recent independent study showed that 94% of Karen patients were still in recovery 90 days post-treatment. Visit caron.org/real. Karen. Real results, real care, real about recovery.